for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 3rd, 1999. First service of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Okay, we'll turn the rest of the evening to Brother Tommy. He was over here last week.
Yeah.
We had a good meeting with a neighbor over here, and then we ended up here in the at the campground for two services. And we had a brother, Bishop John Paul Hackman, mm-hmm. from Kenya, mm-hmm. and no, from
Ghana.
From Ghana, and from London, England, here with us. And we had some very good meetings, and appreciated him coming. He didn't come to minister here, but he ended up ministering here.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy was here with him, and Tommy had met him before, and when he was here and when he was in London both.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a good meeting, and Tommy, we're glad for Tommy to back with us again. And he's faithful and always ready to teach the word. So those of you who don't know Tommy Cook, who lives over in Tulsa, if you're going to make notes tonight, be ready. If you're going to follow him with scriptures, have your fingers ready, because he will take you from Revelations back to Genesis and back to Revelation again before the evening's over, possibly. So, Tommy, come and teach us from the word of the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Amen. I'm very glad you're here tonight. I'm very glad Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Come on, all of us. Father God, we bless you and we praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, Father, your Son, that came and paid the total price for all of us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. And Lord, as we approach you now, we approach you reverently, and we ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us. We're nothing in ourselves. We can do nothing apart from you. We trust the Holy Spirit to help us tonight, to share your word, Lord. Open our ears to hear, Father. Dig our ears tonight, Lord God. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. May the Lord bless you. Praise God. I really enjoyed what Chris said there about deliverance. How many know it's true? You know, sometimes we talk about it, we preach it, we teach it, but it comes down, we got to get it. Isn't that right? And so thank God for deliverance. How many know that's part of the kingdom? That's not all of it. Thank God for that part. Amen? How many know that, the Lord showed me one time that the end time word and deliverance goes like together like this, like two hands fitting together. He showed me that in a dream. And so I believe in deliverance. I've believed in it for many, many years. And I practice it in my own life, and also I teach it. But tonight I'm not going to teach it. In that sense, we're going to teach something else. Let's go to the book of Revelation. What else is there? All right. Praise God. How many thank God for the Word of God tonight? I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's here tonight to help us, isn't he? How many know if you trust in your flesh, you're not going to get any deliverance or help? But if you trust in the Lord, he's going to help us. You know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit? You know that we can resist the Holy Spirit? You know that people blaspheme the Holy Spirit? There are those that quench the Holy Spirit. There are those that lie to the Holy Spirit, like Ananias and Sapphira. There are those who do despite to the Spirit of grace. And then there are those who vex the Holy Spirit. And there are those who tempt the Holy Spirit. Well, tonight we don't want to do that. We want to be open to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Come on. Liberty and freedom in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. How many know that in Revelation, as we're going to turn to chapter 1 here. In the book of Revelation, how many believe that this book, rather, I should say, is really coming alive, I think, in this hour, as well as many other books of the Bible? How many know to have a good knowledge of Revelation, you need a good knowledge of all the Bible. Isn't that true? And so, many years ago, even as a child, the Lord dealt with me on the book of Revelation. And I've always had a desire to study it and to teach it. And it's been prophesied to me, and so I thank God for what he's saying. But as Chris and I were talking earlier, I mean, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know anything. That he's everything, he knows all. Isn't that right? In the book of Revelation, we know there were seven golden candlesticks, seven lamps, seven spirits of God, seven eyes, seven horns, seven churches, seven angels, seven stars, seven messengers taking us to perfection, seven prophetic churches. There's a lot of sevens in Revelation, just like 12. But if you go with me tonight, look in chapter 1, and I want to look at verse 10. 9 and 10, verse 9 and 10, there are five ends in verse 9 and 10. John said he was in tribulation. How many is in tribulation tonight in some area of your life? Anybody here?
Yes.
Praise God. In the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, in the isle that's called Patmos, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want you to know the devil didn't put him there. He was there for the word of God, wasn't he? And for the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on, and that word on can also be in the Lord's day. And then John heard a voice saying, I'm Alpha and Omega. And then he was told to write in a book and send it to the seven churches there which he was going to hear and see. Now, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice. I turned to see the voice. Praise the Lord. How many believe the Lord's turning us? If you're growing, he's turning you. Amen? Anybody want to be turned tonight? You know, you just don't get yanked around or jerked around. That turning is a process, isn't it? And so John turned to see, notice, he turned to see the voice that spake with him. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, or seven lampstands. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, now notice, one, what's the next word? One like who? I mean, oh, Jesus is the Son of Man. But here's one like the Son of Man. How many believe that Christ is head and body? How many believe he's our head tonight? But also he has a many-membered Christ coming forth. Individually, we're not Christ, but he has a many-membered body coming forth. Can you say amen? Let's look at that real quick before I go any further. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, and here's what it says. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are the body, so also is Christ. Christ is a many-membered body. And so our head tonight is Jesus Christ, isn't it? And so John saw this one in the midst here, one like the Son of Man. And notice he said in this scripture, he saw this one clothed with a garment down to the foot. How many see that in chapter 1 of Revelation? He had a garment clothed down to the foot, totally dressed. How many believe that this one, this Son of Man, this one that John saw is a picture of the body of Christ? Now, we know Jesus was here. Christ was here in the people. And how many know we got to see him first? But also in his image and likeness, there's coming forth one. Isn't that right? Anybody want to be like Jesus? What is spiritual growth? It's literally coming in his image and likeness. How do we come in his image and likeness? By the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. The anointed Word of God. And so, he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. Now, before I go any farther, I want to show you why this is a many-membered body. Look down with me in the same chapter real quick, and I'm coming back to that verse. Look in verse 15. You'll notice he said his voice was like the sound of something. Like a multitude or many waters. How many believe the body of Christ is a great sound of a multitude? Is that right? Amen. And so, a lot of people read this and they just see Jesus. But it's Jesus as well in a people. It's Christ in a people. Are you hearing me? All right, now. He said he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. There was no shame of nakedness. Look in Revelation 16. Hallelujah. Verse 15. How many believe you can lose your garments? You can also lose your crown. I don't want to lose mine. Revelation 16:15 says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he. Notice, he's way over here in 16. He hadn't even come yet. And yet we got people preaching the rapture in chapter 4. How many know that isn't true? John was called up a picture of the overcomer. I want to tell you something. I ain't looking for no rapture. I'm looking for the coming of Jesus. In verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. And what else? They see his shame. And so, being clothed down to the foot all the way over, down, means no shame of nakedness. I mean, no, also, that's a picture of righteousness. Is that right? Now, let's see the Lord. Look in Psalms 104. Look in Psalms 104 here with me. Praise God. 104. And look at verse, I think it's verse 1 and 2. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Verse 2. Who covers thyself with light. How many see that scripture? As with a garment. How many know he's covering us with his light too? Come on. His light's going to shine upon you, Isaiah 60 says, in his glory. Isn't that right? Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Praise God. So he's covered with light. And God is covering us as well tonight. Praise the Lord. We need the holy garments of the Lord on, don't we? Praise God. And so no shame of nakedness. Now go to Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse 17 and 18. Jesus is speaking to the last church. He's talking to most Christians that are lukewarm or even cold. And how many believe we can allow ourselves to get lukewarm or cold? Isn't that right? But like Chris said, it's time to get up in the morning, start praying, seeking God. Have that quiet time with the Lord. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind, and come on, what else? Naked. Now notice the last church age. Many in this last church, not everybody, are naked. Which means you're going to see the shame. Next verse. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried, where? In the fire. That thou mayest be rich. You want to be rich? Get my gold. I'll make you rich. How many know that's real prosperity? The divine nature of Christ. And white raiment. That thou mayest be clothed, and here it is, that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. Hallelujah. Anybody want to be covered tonight? I want to be covered, don't you? Hallelujah. With his glory, with his covering, with his righteousness, with Christ himself. Now look in Revelation 12. I'm going to show the bride of Christ is covered. This woman here is not natural Israel. It's the bride of Christ. In chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 1. He said, there appeared a great wonder or a sign in heaven. Now, this heaven's impure because the dragon's there. How many know where the dragon is? You've got something impure. Now, where God the Father is, there's nothing impure. Is that right? It's all pure. And so, there appeared a great sign in heaven. And how many believe there's going to be war in this heaven? This war, this heaven's in you and me, too. How many know the warfare is in us? It's not up in the sky. It's in you. It's in me. I mean, if you got, you're talking about deliverance, how many know when you start moving and getting delivered and getting other people delivered, the war really starts, isn't that right? You get them devils out. Come on, they don't like that. But your final deliverance will be in Revelation chapter 12. That's where it's going to be, right here. Now, look at verse 1. A woman clothed with the S-U-N. I mean, oh, Jesus is the S-U-N that rises with healing in his wings. That's the glory. She's clothed with the glory of God. And the moon was under her foot and so forth. So she's clothed. She's married to the King of Light. And did you know the sun was shining on her, not on the moon? The moon has no light of itself. It's secondary, artificial light, whatever you want to call it. Counterfeit, whatever. But the light is shining on the bride. You know why? Because she has his favor at this time. How many believe God's got a bride coming forth? And the bride's going to bring forth the sons, the overcomers. Hallelujah. Anybody want to be an overcomer tonight? What do you overcome first? Yourself. Amen. Before we have to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Isn't that right? Go back to Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. And by the way, I have two new books on my table back there. I should have brought them up tonight. On the man-child of chapter 12 of Revelation. And also I put one out recently on the inward and outward resurrection. And I think it's a great book because God gave it to me, and I think it's good. In Revelation chapter 1, notice the second thing here that I want to bring out. Not only was this one in the midst like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle. How many see that scripture? You know what does gold mean? Divine nature. God's divine nature. Now, this one was upheld by the divine nature of God. What's holding us up tonight? Same thing. Where is that divine nature? It's in the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Is that right? Now, the divine nature, or the golden band worn outside of the garment, was to bind the garment to the body. He not only gave us the body, but he gave us the divine nature of God that binds that robe of righteousness to us that we might be not ashamed in that day. Praise God. I don't want to be ashamed of you. Hallelujah. The wedding garment, again, is the righteousness of Christ. But the golden girdle, it also covers the breast or the bosom. It's where the heart is. It's the seat of the emotions and our affection. How do you know God knows exactly what he's doing? Huh? And Daniel said it's around the loins. The divine nature, again, is in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the divine nature of God. How many know weightlifters do something? They put belts around their waist and the lower parts, don't they? How many has ever seen a weightlifter do that? How many know that belt is not for beauty, but it's for strength? And they put the belt around those certain areas to strengthen the weak places. And God has put his divine nature, hallelujah, in your weak places. Do you believe that? Huh? Hallelujah. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. But if you do fall, the divine nature is able to lead you to repentance, that you might be presented before God faultless in the very presence of his glory. Can you say amen? It binds the garment to the body that the shame, again, of our nakedness doesn't appear. Praise God. Sin will make us naked. Can you say amen to that? Sin will make us naked. And that shame of nakedness, he said, might not appear. Praise God. And so that garment covered the whole body. And how many know that God had to make skins of the animals for Adam and Eve when they fell in the beginning? Remember that? Huh? How many know it took a lamb, it took a death of an animal to cover Adam and Eve? Isn't that right? And how many know the Lamb of God paid the total price that you and I could be covered tonight? Not only be forgiven, but also covered. Amen. And so that we would not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. So he was here girt about the paps as well with that golden girdle. He was upheld by that divine nature of God. And then it said something else in chapter 1. What does it say here? His head and his hairs were white like wool. Anybody see that? As white as snow. Divine maturity. Praise God. Eternal. Great. Eternal wisdom. Purity. Freshness. Headship. How many know the Lord's our head tonight? He is our head. Praise God. Now, there was no covering over the head. He saw the white hair. The white of the head. And again, Jesus is our head. And yet his head was shining white as wool. As white as snow. Praise the Lord. So there was nothing... There was nothing there to be hid. How many know there was no sin in Jesus? And he wants to rid sin of us, doesn't he? Anybody want to be purified from sin as well as demons? Praise God. Can you say amen? All right, then his eyes were a flame of fire. How many believe that he's going to bring judgment to the world? Now look in Revelation 19. Now I'm talking about through a body. I'm talking about through a people as well. Anybody want to be part of that? See, we think Jesus is going out there to just do it all apart from you and I. No, he's not. He's going to do it through a people, isn't he? Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make War. Is the war you're in us tonight? His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. I want you to notice. He judges and he makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. So he's going to bring judgment to the world. And how many know he's judging the church first? He judges and makes war. Praise God. Now, what does it mean to have eyes that are burning? It means his body is filled with a burning vision. I want to tell you, a lot of Christians don't have a vision tonight. How many know we need a new, fresh vision tonight of what Jesus is saying to us? Praise God. How many know with those eyes that's all seeing? Praise God. Those piercing eyes, full discernment, full illumination, full perception, all-consuming eyes of the Lord himself. Praise God. How many know if our eye be single, our whole body shall be full of light. Full of light. How many know that's healing, that's health, that's everything, isn't it? Praise God. And as George said, we'll live a long time with that, you know, with that type of vision. Praise God. Because if our eye is single, truly our body shall be full of light. And so with a burning vision, listen, many times you can't sleep at night. You'll be up praying. You'll be up studying. Come on, you won't be the same. You won't be the same. You get up, you pray. Hallelujah. Others are sleeping, don't know what's going on, but you're hearing from God. You're seeing things God's showing you. And all of a sudden you're up, you're praying, and you're walking the floor. And you say, Lord, how can this be? And you're writing things down. Come on, amen? Without a vision, come on, we're going to perish. Literally, we're going to be made naked. Without a prophetic vision, it can also mean you'll be made naked. Praise the Lord. And so the more he begins to come forth in his fullness in us, the greater vision is going to become in us. And the same vision, now listen, the same vision that God has given you and me will take you out the next day in the street or where you work. It'll be with you through trials and testings and tribulations, won't it? The same vision that brought Joseph to jail was the same vision that led him to the throne and he began to rule and reign. Is that true? His voice, now it says his voice was like the sound of what? Come on, help me now. Of many waters. Look there in chapter 1. And would you look there with me? Praise God. In verses, what verse is that? 15? Okay. Okay. Yeah, his voice as a sound of many waters. Now, here's our problem. We're standing in a certain place in God. We see others way up here. And if we're not careful, we'll get jealous or we'll get envious or something. But how many know if you'll just stay right where you are and be faithful? God will bring you up. Is that right? How many know there's different kinds of water? You've got all types. You've got little ponds. You've got creeks. You've got rivers. You've got bubbling brooks. You've got waterfalls. You've got the seas. You've got the oceans. But I'll tell you something. This sound that John heard was like the sound of many waters. Now, let's look at this in Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And I want to look at verse 2. He talks about the 144,000. And by the way, I want to say this word thousand means thousands. It don't just mean thousand. It means thousands. That's why it is not a natural number. It's more than a number. It's a nature. Now, I'll throw this out. If you're looking at 144,000, and these aren't Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way, 12 times 12 is 144, right? Times 10 by 10 by 10 is 144,000. The 10 by 10 by 10 was the Holy of Holies dimensions in the Old Testament of the tabernacle. And so God has a Holy of Holies people coming forth. And he says in verse 2, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. Now look in Revelation 19. Now here John sees people rejoicing over the fall of the whore, the harlot system. And then he says in verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. Now, you see that word, multitude? That's that voice we're talking about. It's his body. And as the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, let's go way over to Ezekiel, chapter 43. Thank you, Brother George. God bless you. Thank you, brother. Ezekiel 43. And this was a prophetic word, actually, was given to Ezekiel that we see in the New Testament. So in chapter 43, and all this, if you've never studied chapter 43 about the glory of God, it's here. It's here. Hallelujah. About six or seven steps here that the Lord gave me. But look in chapter 43, and you'll notice that he's bringing him to the gate that looks towards the east. How many know the east is where the sun comes up? How many know the Lord came from the east? The three wise men came from the east. There's a message from going from east to west. But look at verse 2. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Hallelujah. How many believe God wants this earth to shine tonight? And he wants you to hear his voice, too. And he wants that voice to be expressed through you and me. Now, turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. I believe it's 124 of Ezekiel. Yeah, here it is. He's talking about the four beasts. And oh, what a message in these four beasts here. They're a picture of the nature of Christ. They're a picture of the soul. They're a picture of worship. Man, there's all kind of things we got going here with these beasts. They're not actually beasts. You know, they're living creatures. Now, verse 24. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters. How many see that? And as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. And when they stood, they let down their wings. Then we'll go to chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. Glenn told you you're going to have some finger movements tonight. Okay. How many know that's where you learn the Word of God? Yes. You know, I go to some places and I don't open the Bible. I was in a meeting recently. A guy didn't open the Bible and give one scripture. I thought, man, what's wrong with that guy? Okay, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed is he, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Notice, a great rushing. Now go to Daniel. Let's go to Daniel 10, 6. Daniel 10, 6. And it says here in Daniel 10, 6, and John, Daniel sees the same vision John saw in Revelation. And he saw him clothed, he saw his eyes and the whole thing. In verse 6, his body also was like the barrel, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like kohler to polish brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of what? Come on. A multitude. Do you see that? Praise God. A multitude. And so Daniel was affected, verse 9, by that voice as well. Praise God. So the voice of many waters are nations, kindreds, people, tongues. And John saw one in the midst like the Son of Man. Praise God. Amen. And now we go to Ephesians. I want to take you through some scriptures in Ephesians. I want to show you this man he's bringing forth. This one like the Son of Man. Praise God. Anybody again tonight want to be like Jesus? I tell you, I want to be like Jesus, don't you? Ephesians 1:10. Look at this scripture now. It said that in the dispensation, I mean, there's a message in this one verse. You could preach all night on this verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together, notice, in one. How many see that word one? All things where? That which is in Christ, in the Anointed One, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. So He's making us one, those in heaven, those in the earth. Is that right? All right, now look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2 and verse 13. I believe it is. Yes, 13. Praise God. Let's go to 14. For He is our peace with both... who hath both won and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, what? One new man. How many see that? Then look in chapter 4, verse 15 of Ephesians. Oh, hallelujah. How many know God's doing it? 4:15. 4:15. Chapter 4. And I don't think it's verse 15, though, is it? No, it's 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's one coming forth like the Son of Man, in his image and likeness. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Now, anybody want his fullness tonight? How many know what God wants to bring us to his fullness? In the outer court, I was forgiven. In Pentecost, holy place, I'm filled. But how many know there's the fullness coming? Amen. Now, look in chapter 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verse 8. Here's where we're saved. But for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And how many thank God for the gift of God who is Jesus? And then in chapter 1, here we're filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 13, in whom you also, after you trusted, have heard, were heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed. After you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's the earnest of our inheritance. How many know he's sealing us today? It started there, but he's sealing us. There's a final sealing for the soul. But let's go to chapter 4 now. In chapter 4, what's he saying here? Let's go to chapter 1, verse 23. Here's the fullness here, too. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, chapter 3 of Ephesians, in verse 16 first, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with something. Come on. All the fullness of God. Let me see that. Now, how's this going to happen? Look in chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles. Come on, some prophets. Some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers for the perfecting, the equipping of the saints. How many know we need to get equipped if we're saints? Why? For the work of the ministry. How many know preachers aren't to do it all? I said preachers aren't to do it all. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and again, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. Somebody say fullness. Fullness of Christ. Now turn to Revelation 11. Hallelujah. Anybody want to get measured tonight? Well, I want to wait a little while, don't you? Get a little more measurement. In chapter 11, verse 1, there was given me a reed like unto a rod. By the way, it's a golden rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure what? What's he going to measure? I mean, we are the temple of God tonight. But he said, measure this temple. This is not man's measure. It's not a rod. It's not a stick you're measuring. I mean, all that divine nature is going to measure us. All right, listen. Measure the temple of God and the altar, the place of worship, dedication, repentance. You see, all those things that go with the altar. And then they what? Worship therein. Now, notice, verse 1, somebody's measured because they're worshiping. Are you hearing me? We have a lot of prayer, we have a lot of praise, and thank God for that. But how many know it's time to worship? Verse 2. But the court, this is the outer court that's without the temple, come on, leave it out. Measure it not. It's given to the Gentiles, or the heathen, really. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's not Jerusalem, that's the church. I said it's the church. How many know if you live in the outer court, you can get trampled down? What am I saying? In verse 1 is obedience. In verse 2 is rebellion. In verse 1, somebody's measured up to the measurement that we read in Ephesians. In verse 2, somebody isn't. Somebody is left out in verse 2. You know what this chapter 11 is? It's the beginning of the tribulation. What will start the tribulation? You know, we got all these things, earthquakes, wars, whatever. Let me tell you what the sign I'm looking for is. The overcomer standing it with the same ministry Jesus had in the earth. And when you see his works and when you see the ministry of Jesus again in the earth as he did, the tribulation will be here. Did you hear that? The tribulation will be here. Hallelujah. Anybody want part of that? I know the old teaching, we're going to skate and get out of here, but I just don't believe it. I was in that old teaching. I believed it, but I don't believe it. Anybody got stomach problems tonight? I want you to stand to your feet. Any air in your stomach, lower area of your stomach, I want you to stand up. All right? Somebody else, stand up. I want you to reach your hands out to these people tonight. Let's pray for them. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I curse this thing in their stomach. I curse all the sickness, infirmity in their bodies right now. I curse those things. Satan, I bind you. I come against that infirmity, and I command you to loose these people right now through the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus and the power of Jesus. We speak healing and health to every one of these bodies right now in the stomach area. We command those stomach to be well, to be whole, and all distractions and all infirmities, you go now. Loose them in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Let them come out. Come on. Cover them out if you have to. Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All infirmities, come out of that stomach. Come out of that lower area of the intestines in the name of Jesus. All female problems and any other disease and condition, come out of them right now in Jesus' name, by the name of Jesus, by the authority of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's give him praise. Come on. Thank him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, now, what's going to happen? Let's say it this way. We were forgiven the outer court, filled in the holy place, but there's a fullness yet coming. But to come into that fullness, how many know the fire is going to touch you? Isn't that right? You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. It's going to be tribulation. Isn't that right? And if you still want to be an overcomer, how many know, and you tell Jesus, Lord, I want to be an overcomer. I don't care what I go through. How many know he'll make you be an overcomer? Huh? If you really mean it. If you mean it. Come on. If you mean it. He'll put you through the test. And he'll see if you want to be an overcomer. Is that true? And I believe some of you are going to make it. Don't you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it said back in Revelation 1, it said, out of his mouth, out of this one that was like the Son of Man, it said, out of his mouth went something. In verse 16. When a sharp sword, sharp two-edged sword, it says there. How many know that's the spoken word of God that will come forth like a weapon from the overcomer church? And I can show you this. Look at Revelation 2, 16. We know it's the Lord in us, of course. Revelation 2, 16. Let's turn there. And it says this, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. How many see that? Now it's called a two-edged sword, isn't it? How many know the first edge will set you free? But if you reject it and turn from it, how many know that second edge is going to get you? Come on, amen. But it's a sharp, two-edged sword. It's the Rhema word. Come on, it's the spoken word. It's the judgment word. It's warfare word. It's a destroying word against our enemies. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It truly is. Now look at another scripture. Look in chapter 2, verse 12. Did I read that one? 2:12. All right, look in 2:12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things, saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. He's speaking the one that's got that sharp sword. Then we go to Revelation 19 and verse 15. Hallelujah. How many know this is meat and potatoes getting in this book? Praise the Lord. Revelation 19, 15. It says this. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Then look in verse 21. And the remnant, this is when Jesus comes. And the remnant were slain with a sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now go to Ephesians 6. Praise God. How many know it was first in Jesus, and then it's in his body? Do you believe that? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. And he's given the armor. And then verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It takes the anointed word, doesn't it? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then go to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to see the Lord's going to slay this man of sin right here in this temple. How many know he's sitting right here today? We're all looking in the Middle East or some other place for the Antichrist. I want to tell you, he's sitting right in the church. I'm not saying there's not application out there, but I'm telling you, he's right in the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's come down to verses 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with what? The spirit of his mouth. And how many know when the Lord speaks, his word goes forth in power? Amen. He's going to slay that one in the temple. And notice he's going to destroy the brightness of his coming. Praise God. Or literally means the epiphany of his parousia. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Well, how many know they didn't believe the truth? They believe the lie, and they'll be in strong delusion because of that. And he's going to destroy that man of sin. It's right here. Oh, my, what I could get into here. Now, let's go back to Revelation. It said something else there in chapter 1 that we need to see. And I ain't even got half through. Man, I might be here a little longer. I don't know. I don't want to wear people out. But I mean, we come to hear the Word of God. And I sure come to preach. And I think Chris is going to be preaching tomorrow. In chapter 1, it said his feet was like something. What does it say there in chapter 1? His feet like unto fine brass. Judgment, isn't it? As if it burned, as if they burn in a furnace. Praise God. How many know that our feet is our walk life tonight? And by the means of transportation from one place to another, thank God we can walk. Aren't you glad you got legs tonight and you got feet? You know, Moses saw the promised land, but Joshua walked in it. A lot of people see visions and revelation, but they don't walk in what they see. I mean, it's no good to have revelation unless you come into it, walk into it. Now, here, John said this one had feet like brass if they burn in a furnace. This is the church walking victoriously through the tribulation on the earth in his people. I don't believe he's going to I believe he's going to have a strong people. I believe he's going to have a victorious people and a victorious church. A church without spot and wrinkle. I don't believe they're going to be defeated. They're going to overcome. Amen. And then it said his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That's what the King James says there in the scripture. His countenance was like the sun. Can you imagine that? Shining in his strength. Now, I want to show you here that he's going to take you into that. How many know this is the transfiguration? John literally saw that on the Mount of Transfiguration, too. He saw the glory on Jesus with the other apostles there. But look, turn to Matthew. I want to show you that he's going to bring us into this if we qualify to overcome in him. And he's going to qualify us in him. Matthew 13, verse 40. Let's go back here just a minute. Praise God. Verse 43. I don't want to get into all this. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Who's going to shine forth as the sun? The righteous. Are you righteous tonight? Is he bringing you into righteousness more and more? In the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then go to Isaiah 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. He's going to bring us into that transfiguration. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Hallelujah. Amen. I ought to get you to shout. Well, how many know that's not going to happen unless you spend time in his presence and spend time with Jesus and have intimacy with Jesus? Isn't that right? Praise God. And so, what he's talking about here in Matthew, where it says they shine like the sun. These are those who are left after God's terrible judgment that have removed many of the wicked from the earth during that time of tribulation. And again, that's the transfiguration. And then in chapter 1 of Revelation it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one was like unto the Son of Man. And I'd like to get into that and give you some scriptures. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. I yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Now, didn't John see one like the Son of Man? we shall be like him, for we shall see him. The pure in heart shall see God. Is that right? We shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope where? In him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Purifies himself. You're going to get deliverance. You're going to repent. You're going to die to your flesh. Come on. Even as he is pure. God's going to bring a people into his image and likeness, isn't he? Now, look at Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Thank you, Father. Romans 8:29. In whom, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image or the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You take that to Hebrews 2, and he tells you who those many brethren are. Praise God. So he's bringing the people into their image and his very likeness. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go back here to Revelation. I want to show you something here in Revelation 1 now. Where did John see this one at in Revelation 1? Look in verse 13. He said, in the midst or the middle of the seven candlesticks or lampstand, one like the Son of Man. So he was standing where? He was in the midst, wasn't he? He was in the middle. Everybody see that? Praise God. Now, how many of those bowls were on the lampstand? Seven. Three, one. How many churches? Jesus standing in this middle one, seventh one, represents the last church. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's standing there? He walked among all the churches. Don't misunderstand me. He was in the midst of all the churches. But that one in the midst was the seventh one. And how many know we are the seventh church? Huh? Amen? And so this seventh church, or this overcoming church, I'm not talking about all the people in Laodicea now, but this overcoming church will be the only church walking through the tribulation victorious, which is represented by the center lampstand, or the seventh one. And he was right in the middle. John saw this one right in the midst of it. There's a people, brethren, that's going to overcome in this hour. How many know America's facing judgment? Not just America, but the world. But I'm telling you, it's coming on America very soon. And we better get ready for it, however God directs us. Isn't that right? And without Christ in the midst of the church ruling and living and directing, that church would not be able to overcome. Could you say amen to that? How many know the overcomer's in the overcomer? The sons and the sons, isn't that right? The seventh church, the last one, spiritual perfection. Hallelujah. Christ in the midst of it. This overcoming church. This marriage feast, I call it. Many-membered body, fullness of Christ, coming in his people, and so forth. A people is going to be like Jesus. In Psalm 17, let me give you a scripture here. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. I went to Bible college, never was taught anything about the overcomer. All my notes on Revelation, I threw away. You wouldn't believe how many I threw in the trash can. How many of those times to throw some of our junk away that wasn't God? Psalm 17. Psalm 17, look at verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Anybody want to behold the Lord tonight? Intimacy. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. How many believe he's waking us all up? How many know the revelation breaks on you really realize you're coming out of a deep sleep? The more you get of him, of Jesus. Isn't that right? We need Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't need doctrine. We need Jesus. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. We need his doctrine. 1 Peter chapter 2, I should say. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. Now John saw that one on the throne as a stone, didn't he? In chapter 4 of Revelation. And to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed or rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as what else? Lively stone. are built up. Come on. Spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So he's a living stone and he's making us lively stones. I just taught recently a message on the 12 stones of Revelation. How many know there's a tremendous message in those 12 stones? 12 entrances into light, coming into perfection, maturity in God. And I went into that a little bit. And it's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous teaching. Praise God. Amen. Now, I want to say one other thing, going back to that voice where John saw, hear the voice of many waters. How many know the natural John was very familiar with the voice of Jesus? Because he walked here with him. Is that right? It wasn't strange to him. But when John heard that multitude, praise God, he heard the voice of the body of Christ. But how many know it was a voice within a voice? Anybody want to hear the voice within a voice? I do. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. And what does it say here? It says in verse 20, I believe it's verse 20 of chapter 1. Now, my Bible's so chewed up here, I can't find it. In verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, the hand, right hand of power, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Hallelujah. Now, seven messengers, those stars were seven messengers, with a perfect message to the church throughout all the ages. And I believe that the overcoming message was taught in every church, every age. I remember a brother from Canada. What was the brother deliverance preacher used to come? Maxwell White. He remember hearing the overcoming message in the early 1900s. Well, I don't go back that far. But I have a paper at home where in 1600 that it was found among somebody's writings. It was all on this overcoming word. I tell you, every age God had this overcoming word coming forth. And those seven messengers, how many know seven is the number of perfection? And every age, God has his messengers bringing forth this message of light of Christ. Praise the Lord, our fullness, our maturity. But it's the last church that's going to walk in it. I want to be part of it, don't you? Seven messengers with a perfect message to the church, which was in his right hand. He was holding those stars. How many believe he's holding the ministry today? He's holding them. And aren't you glad he's holding us? We all have a ministry, but, those that bring forth a message, he's holding them. He holds the ministry, the seven watchmen. It's like seven suns coming up and going down, if I could use that expression. For each church, overcoming message was given. Praise God. And so it's a tremendous thing. Now, I know a lot of people think this, the message is going to go forth on television. But I want to tell you something. We need to go from television to spiritual vision. It ain't going to be television. Ain't going to be the way God's going to use it. He's using it all right, but it's not going to be the way. He's going to transport his sons around the world. He's going to literally, when the sons come forth, the overcomers, God's going to lift them up and transport them as he did Philip. The dead will be raised. The miraculous will take place around the world. You talking about an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? We ain't seen nothing yet, have we? But it's going to happen as God takes them around. Can you imagine God putting Chris over in Moscow? Or John back here in Iran somewhere? Right on the Muslim country, and they come to kill him, and the Lord just takes him some other place. How many know the Lord's able to do it? And I'm looking forward either being in it or seeing it or something. Praise God. Amen. Now, it's going to happen. Now, look in chapter 2, verse 1, just a second here. Hallelujah. Chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Now, when we read that, we think, boy, there's a big old 6 foot, 7 foot angel standing over that church. Well, it probably was in the spirit, if you could see it. Probably many of them. But how many know this angel was a messenger here? This was a human person we're talking about back here, basically. How many know that some angels in Revelation were redeemed people? Others were created beings that God used. How many know that? How many's ever said that? You never studied that? Well, get into it and look into it. Don't take my word for it. Don't believe a word I say. Get in the book yourself. Don't take any preacher's word. Get in the book yourself. But this angel was, the word is agelos, messenger, and he was the angel of the church at Ephesus. He was a human messenger. He was a ministry there. And so it said something to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now you say, how do I know it wasn't a created being angel? It's because, come on down in the chapter. Look with me in verse 4. He's talking to this messenger of this church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He's not talking to an angel that has wings. He's talking about a people who left the love of God. Can you understand that? And he removed that candlestick, didn't he? I said he removed that candlestick. Let me tell you something. No fallen angel, listen, no fallen angel that fell with Satan would ever want to go back to heaven. Even if they had the choice, they would never want to go back. If they did, how many know they'd still curse God? Did you hear me? Amen. And so he says something here. He said in this verse, these things saith he that holdeth. What's he holding? He's holding the seven stars again, right? In his what? Right in the power, who walks. Now, in chapter 1, John saw one in the midst. Now, in chapter 2, there's action. He's walking in the midst. In the midst of what? The seven golden candlesticks. How many believe he's walking through you today? There's action through you. How many know we come to get set free? Every time somebody gets set free, how many know the Lord's walking through his church and doing something? Isn't that right? When you get healed, when you get, you know, get delivered, whatever. He's doing it, isn't he? Praise God. Are you glad tonight? Amen. Now, look in chapter here. Look in chapter 1. Look in chapter 1. Look in verse 4, if you will. Look in chapter 1. I think it's verse 4. You'll notice something. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come. And from, notice something, the seven spirits which are where? Now to get acquainted with the fullness of God and the seven spirits, how many know we better spend some time at the throne? And how do we get to the throne? By his blood and by boldness. Is that right? Anybody want to experience the throne? The rulership of Christ, the government of God, the authority of God, the kingdom of God. There's a lot of things we could talk about there. But I want you to notice something here. It says, praise God, that right here, those spirits were before the throne. Now look in chapter 3, verse 1, I believe it is. You'll notice here it says, to the angel of the church in Sardis. Now he's talking to this angel here. And how many know he's talking to a dead church here in Sardis? They thought they were living and they were dead. I want to tell you something. If there's death in us, how many know we better get rid of it?
That's right.
And sometimes there's errors in all of us that are, there's death working in us and we need the Holy Ghost to come in and wake us up and get us alive. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. Notice, who has the seven spirits of God? The one that's talking, that's Jesus. Our relationship with the seven spirits and the fullness of God, how many know we better have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, with Jesus? Everybody know Jesus. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. But among this dead church was overcomers. That's just like Laodicea. There's a lot of people in Laodicea today dead. Come on, they're cold. They're lukewarm. They're caught up in the richness of this world and the prosperity of this world. They're not caught up in Jesus. How many of Jesus wants to get caught up in him? I mean, he is our prosperity tonight. If you don't have him, you don't have any prosperity. Can you say amen? You may have $1 million in the bank, but you don't have prosperity. Can you say amen? Praise God. Then look in chapter 4 of Revelation. I still ain't got to where I'm going. Hang on. Chapter 4. There's another scripture here if I can find it. Praise God. In verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of the fire burning. Notice, burning where? Before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Again, it's before the throne. Then we come down to chapter 5. How many believe there's a lamb in chapter 5? And verse 6. It said, having seven horns in verse 6 of chapter 5, he was slain. Notice this lamb stood How many know that he was resurrected? And yet he was slain. But what does it say? Having seven horns, that's all power. All authority. Seven eyes, that's all seeing, all fullness of revelation. And which are the seven spirits of God sent forth where? I want you to hear what I'm going to say now. How many know there were seven seals that had to be broken? And there was only one that could break the seals. His name is Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, as these seals are let loose, it says here in verse 6, then not only saw the horns and the eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into what? As the seals of God are being broken, His fullness is coming forth. You know where we are right now? We're at the sixth seal. We're coming to the sixth seal, which is destruction, which God is going to rip and tear down the pride of man, haughtiness of man over in Isaiah talks about. We're coming to the sixth seal, but as each seal is loose, God's fullness is being let loose. So when the next seal is open, more fullness of God's coming forth in His church. Can you hear that? Anybody want that? All right, now, let's go back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. Now, I want to touch something real quick here. Hallelujah. And if I get on this, I could preach all night. In chapter 2, please look down with me to verse 7. Is that the word? No, it's not the word. Verse 6. But this thou hast. Now, he's talking to this church at Ephesus. For this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds, and later it was the doctrine, of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You ever went through the Bible and saw what God hated? A lot of things. He hates this religious thing right here. Now, how many know there is a spirit of control in many places in the church? And we all have to judge ourselves. I don't care if we're minister or not minister. Can you say amen? There is a spirit of dominion that gets a hold of people. Domination, intimidation, manipulation. Or I said four words. Domination, denomination, isolation, indoctrination. But there are those who rule by force and cruelty. Ezekiel chapter 34 tells us that. How many believe God's against those who rule with dominion, the wrong kind? I said God's against it. There's a spirit. And sometimes the sheep are beat up and down or chewed out and spit out. Can you say amen? One man said, when I need my lawn mowed, I call the sheep. When I need my house painted, I call the sheep. When I need my shoes shined, I call the sheep. And I say, hogwash and baloney. Shine his own shoes. Now, this word Nicolaitan means, Nico means rule, or ruler, or conqueror. Not a boss. Straw boss, hard taskmaster. I'm not talking about that. Laos. L-A-O-S means, meaning people. And you put both those words together, it means ruling over the people. Or having dominion over the people. And how many know when you do that, you're taking the place of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to get in trouble. Amen? Rulers over the people. Conquerors over the people. Listen, God hadn't called any of us to be a hierarchy, or a boss, or a tyrant, or to dominate, or control, manipulate anybody, or a little tin god. God doesn't want that junk in His church. And He's going to rip it out of the church before Jesus comes. How many know there's wolves in sheep's clothing? This church at Ephesus was a sonship church. You go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, you'll see God called them, chose them to be sons. But how many know the enemy came in? You know what? There was grievous wolves in this church. Any church that's called to be a sonship church, you're going to have trouble. Did you hear what I said? You're going to have some wolves around the corner. You're going to have some false apostles. Right here in chapter 2, he said, you found out those that were false apostles, and they were liars. And there's a lot of people rejecting their ministry and what they are. I'm going to tell you something. If we don't have the goods, we better not say what we are. If God hadn't called us to be a certain minister, we better not project we're certain ministers. You see, we'll see a man coming to the door and say, oh, there's apostle so-and-so, a prophet. All you're doing is lifting up man. Come on now, hear me. Please hear me tonight. I mean, we need apostles and prophets. But we don't exalt man. We exalt the man. His name is Jesus. Amen? And so, There were wolves in this church. There were false apostles in this church. There were the deeds of the Nicolaitans in this church. And how many know when you take Jesus out, all you got is a religious club left? How many know churches, some churches are religious clubs? Come on, help me now. In this church in this city was dying of the Ephesians. How many know the whole city and other cities worship dying of the Ephesians? I can't prove this, but you know, it never said Paul actually directly went in and to that shrine and confronted that. But some said that John actually did later on, went in and did that. And when he did, a lot of it fell down. I can't prove that by history or anything. But I'll tell you something. God's got a people today that's going to confront a lot of things. Amen, in the Lord. How many know they're confronting us? It's time for us to confront them. Is that right? Praise God. So there was a lot of things coming in this church, brother. A lot of things. And, it only took 10 men to keep Israel out of the promised land. 10 men kept the whole nation out of Israel. Out of the promised land. And let me tell you who we follow. We follow those who reach for responsibility and not authority. Out of responsibility will come and flow authority. Praise God. And then we also... Well, let's go to 3 John. Let's go to 3 John. Let me wrap this up here in a minute. Praise God. I see Brother Norman. Is that Norman back there? Oh, it's Terry. 3 John. 3 John. I want to tell you 7 things here. I'm going to tell you 7 things right here in 3 John. There's a man here named Diotrephes. You know what his name means? His name means nurtured by Zeus. How many know there was a spirit called Zeus? You see that in chapter 14 of Acts, and you see it in chapter 16. There was a spirit over that area of Zeus, that where Paul was. And here this man, his name means nurtured by Zeus. Now, the first thing I want to show you here in this individual, he desired to be first. He wanted the preeminence. He was fond of being first. But how many know the first shall be last? He wanted that exalted position, didn't he? Look down in verse 9. I wrote to the church in 3 John. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, he loves to have that first place. He wants to be number one. And how many know if you always want to be number one, you'll never be number one? Amen. And then the second thing is, you'll notice something. It says, receiveth us. Not. How many see that scripture? Receiveth us not. Now, he wanted to be the big cheese, the BTO, big time operator. But he didn't want to receive the apostles or the brethren that came, especially the apostles. And so they rejected the traveling ministry. He rejected the traveling ministries, especially the apostolic ministry. And then the third thing is, he began to speak malicious words against the brethren. Malicious words, evil words, ungodly words. Okay? Look there in verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against him with malicious words. With malicious words. Unkind words, ungodly words, wicked words. And then he said, next thing is, not content. Well, how many know if you're going to attack the ministry, you're not going to be contented? Is that right? What does content mean? It means an inward sufficiency. He didn't have it. He was void of it. And then we see Jezebel, a controller here. He demands the people. He forbids them to not receive the brethren. Now, I'm going to tell you, many pastors are still against me coming to churches. And a lot of apostles and prophets that God's raising up in this hour, God will send them someplace, whether in a motel or some other place, to hear people hear the word of God. I'm not against shepherds. I thank God for shepherds because I'm one of them. But I'm telling you, God's going to do a great change in some of the churches. Because when a lot of the pastors aren't open, God's going around bypassing them. Yes. And if you shut out the apostles and prophets and then for all the ministry, how many know we're shutting out the blessing of God? Yes. We need all the ministry. We need all 5. Amen? And yet, on the other hand, the apostles and prophets can't come in and do their thing either. Except what God tells them. Isn't that right? They're accountable to God, too. And so he said something here. I'm saying something here. He was calling all the shots. And so he tells the people, you can't receive those traveling ministries. Don't you do it? That's Jezebel. That's control. That's manipulation, isn't it? And then lastly, he said something else. Well, one of the two more points. He excommunicated them because it says here in verses 10, and cast them out of the church. Now, I can understand, like Glenn said earlier, if someone comes in and is saying and doing things they shouldn't, you got to remove them if they don't repent and do right. But here, he was shutting out the apostolic and traveling ministries. And he actually kicked the people out that would receive those ministries. He kicked them out of the church. He threw them out. Praise God. He really had a love for the sheep, didn't he? No, he didn't. Some people think, you know, you can't go anywhere else to fellowship with other people. How many know that's a lie? It's a big lie. You can't have fellowship with nobody else. You know, we are the select of the elect or whatever. Now go to Acts 20. Really what I should have done tonight is put this down, get up and preached on this. Just preached it instead of teaching it. Chapter 20, because I really feel this thing strong. Chapter 20, verse 28 of Acts. About 5 more minutes and I'm done. Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. How many thank God for overseers tonight? That's the elders of God. We use this word bishop in Timothy. You ever look in the Greek? The word office of the bishop's not in the office, is not in the Greek. And the word bishop, really the word, best word, is overseer. And if God's put you over some people, how many know you're going to oversee them in the Lord? You're not going to be a tyrant or a boss. Can you say amen? And so let's see what happens here. Paul in verse 17 talks to the elders, and then he calls them overseers. Same ministry. Verse 28, take heed therefore to yourselves, to all the flock, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He has to make us overseers. What for? To shepherd, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not what? Not sparing. Who gets hurt? The sheep gets hurt, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves. Now look at this. Men shall arise speaking, number one, perverse things, perversion. Number two, to draw, literally to drag away disciples after them. We're to follow Jesus, not just follow man. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So, even among the elders here in this church, they were drawing people after themselves and began to speak perversion. And God had to remind this church of that. What does a wolf do? How many know a wolf many times comes in into a church, and he imparts venom to the young ones. You've seen it, Diane. I've seen it. And you know what happens when he imparts that venom to the sheep or to the young ones? He doesn't go to mature Christians or many times or the seasoned ministries. But he goes to the young ones. Isn't that right? He puts that poison in them. And then you know what they do? They foam at the mouth and attack the leadership. Isn't that right? How many's ever seen that? And so we have to be very careful because there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. How many know if a guy's a wolf, he's still a wolf, he smells like a wolf. He may look like a sheep, but he smells like a wolf. And he's got tracks to prove it. Isn't that right? And he can't grow wool like a sheep. And all you need is a good sheep dog. You need somebody who's got discernment to discern the person or persons out. Isn't that right? Praise God. Amen. And so, there's just so much here I could go into. I got so much who to follow and who not to follow, and I won't get into that. But I want to give you one more scripture in closing. Isaiah 40. We'll close here. This is on a positive note. Isaiah 40. Do you believe the shepherd needs to be among the sheep tonight? His name is Jesus. Is he your shepherd tonight? You know, God uses his under-shepherds, but how many know he's our shepherd tonight? And in chapter 40, Verse 11, he shall feed his sheep like a shepherd. That's nourishment. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. That's authority. And he shall carry them in the bosom. And that's protection. And shall gently lead those that are with young. That's gentleness and compassion. Hallelujah. David said, thy gentleness hath made me, in Psalms 18. What is that? How does that scripture go? Made me great. How many know we need his gentleness tonight in dealing with the sheep? Amen? And Jesus gave the last, before we close, Jesus gave the parable in Matthew 24. I say it's a parable. Story of Matthew 24. Of the man who was a good servant of God, and then he becomes an evil servant. Remember that story? And you know what he begins to do? He begins to smite the sheep. He begins to wound the sheep, not by his fist, but by preaching. How many has ever been wounded by preaching? I'm serious. Right, keep your hands. I want to see your hands. How many know you can get smitten real good by preaching? Sometimes people preach at individuals. I knew a lady in West Virginia. One of the faith brethren preached at her, nearly killed her. I mean, seriously. It tore her up. Amen? And so you can be wounded. You can be hurt. And so Jesus said, but right before his coming, there will be those who will smite the sheep, who will smite the church. They're smiters, they're fighters, they're beaters and not feeders. And you know what this man said? My Lord delays his coming. And then later it says he didn't look for his coming. He wasn't even looking for his coming. And I'm telling you, brethren, the word smite means to wound the conscience. And there's people in this room tonight that's been wounded in your heart or your mind. It's affected you maybe in your body by false ministries, by those who preach against you and hurt you. God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free tonight. Amen? Listen, he's walking in the midst of the candlestick tonight to set us free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet. May the Lord bless you. I want those who have been wounded and hurt by ministers, I want you to come and line up right here. If you've really been wounded and hurt by ministries who've preached against you, who's hurt you, you have to forgive them. Yes. You have to, from your heart, forgive them. If you're willing to forgive them, I want you to come. Praise God. We're going to pray for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You've been hurt and wounded by ministry. You must forgive them. So I'm going to pray a prayer of faith first, and then I'm going to ask the other ministers to come up behind. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray right now together. So let's pray a prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive that person or persons that hurt me, that wounded me, that smote me. Father God, I just pray for that individual. His deliverance. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you tonight, Lord God,
To heal me
in my heart,
in my mind,
from any impurities, any things that were said,
ungodly,
demonic, I take authority over it. I break its power.
It's hold
over me right now. And I command
it
to loose me in Jesus' name.
I
take a deep breath and let it go in Jesus' name. Some of you come up behind. Let's start ministering to them. Praise God. All the ministers. Name of Jesus. I just rebuke Father God and take authority over every attack against this brother. And all the hurts and wounds and hurts, Lord God, in him. In the name of Jesus. I bind it and rebuke it off of him in Jesus' name. For Colleen. Right now, Father, for all the wounds and hurts in the name of Jesus. But take a deep breath, Colleen. Let it come out there. Name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I just ask you to heal her heart. Heal her conscience. Heal her in her heart where she's been wounded and severed and hurt, Lord. And put down, Lord, and almost destroyed, Father God. We bind that and take authority over it in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, we curse that thing. Father, for this young man here, Father God. Every wound, every hurt, Lord, that come to him, Lord. We take authority. Take a breath. Come on. Blow it up. Cough it out. Anyway, that's it, son. Cough it out. That's it. Name of Jesus. We bind that. We break that thing. All those hurts. We ask the wounds to be healed, Lord God. Heal his wounds, Father God. Heal him, Lord God. We rebuke that attack over him. That's it. Cough it out. There you go. That's it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We curse that thing. In Jesus' name. Come out of it. Loose him. Loose him. Loose him. In Jesus' name. That's it. That's it. Get it out of there. In Jesus' name. That's it. Name of Jesus. Come out of there. All of it. All those wounds and all those hurts. In Jesus' name. Now, amen. Now, ask Jesus, come in and fill you up, son.
Yes, Lord.
Praise God. Touch our sister here tonight, Lord. From all these wounds, all these hurts, Father God, we ask you to heal her, Lord, right now. We take authority. Take a deep breath, hon. Carve it out. In Jesus' name. I said, let her go. In Jesus' name. Come out. All those hurts, all those wounds, come out. In Jesus' name. Come out there. In Jesus' name. By the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Somebody give me some paper towels. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Come out of there. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come out of it. Loose her. Loose her in Jesus' name. All the wounds and hurts. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every bit of it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Glenn. Here, honey. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All those wounds. That wounded spirit. That wounded spirit. Lord, heal. Heal that wounded spirit, Father God. Heal her, Lord. Come out of there. Come out of there. All those wounds and bruises and crushings. In Jesus' name. Loose her. Loose her. In Jesus' name, by the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus. That's it, that's it. Cough it up, that's it. There you go, that's it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. Now ask him to come in and fill you up, hon. Ask him to come in and fill you up now. Come on. Praise God. Diana, Lord God, we just pray for Diana tonight that you would, Lord, heal her, that you would deliver her, Father, from all these hurts, Father God. All the hurts of the past, Father, from ministries and those that, Lord God, stood against and hurt her. Those in the congregation that prayed against her. All the witchcraft, Father God, and the divination that's been thrown at her. In Jesus, take a deep breath, Diana. In Jesus' name, let her go. In Jesus' name, all of it. We break its power. We break its hold over you right now, Diana. In Jesus' name, come out of her. Loose her now in Jesus' name. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. All those hurts. All those traumas. In Jesus' name. We loose you from it now. Loose her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You feel dizzy? Father, we just break that power of witchcraft off of her from all those false prayers. In the name of Jesus. We release her now and ask you to come in. Fill her up, Lord. Amen. Yeah, I know. I know. Amen. My brother. Yes, sir. Praise God. Father, for all the wounds and hurts, Lord, that he has. In the name of Jesus. We curse all these attacks against him, Father God. We cut off all witchcraft and divination. We loose him, Father God, in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, son. Let her go in Jesus' name. Come on, call it out there. Get it out there. All those hurts and all those wounds. Come out of your soul. Come out of your mind. In the name of Jesus. Just say, Lord, I forgive that person, persons. In the name of Jesus. I release them. In the name of Jesus, take all these hurts out of my heart. Heal my heart, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Brother Doc. Name of Jesus. Father, we break all these curses and things been thrown at him. All the strongholds off of him right now, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Everyone, Lord, that spoke against him, preached against him. Lord, that come against him. We just break off all those strongholds of witchcraft and divination. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, touch him, Lord, right now in his heart. Minister healing and health to him and strength to him now, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we break off, Lord, all the hierarchies and dominion that's come against him, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father God. Take a deep breath, Doc. Name of Jesus, let her go. Let her go. Name of, that's it. Let her go. In Jesus' name, we release you tonight. In Jesus' name, for all these hurts, all these hurts, all these demonic powers, we break your power over him right now. Loose him in Jesus' name. And we speak the blood over him. And Father God, we just forgive those that hurt him. In the name of Jesus. He forgives those that hurt you, hurt him too, Lord. In Jesus' name, we release him, Father God. Amen. Amen. Terry, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Touch Terry tonight, Lord. We pray for his deliverance in the name of Jesus. Deliver Terry, Father, from all the hurts and the wounds he's had in the past, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and let her come out of there, Terry. Get rid of all that stuff. Get rid of all that junk. That's it. Name of Jesus. All those hurts, all those wounds that's down deep in there. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. They were like piercing words that came at you in Jesus' name that come against your mind, come against your soul. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke and bind and break off of you right now all these things, all these attacks against you, Terry. In the name of Jesus, we curse those things. We break them off of you. Come on, cough it out and let them go. Name of Jesus, come out there, come out there, come out there, come out there in Jesus' name. All of it, all of it. Come on, loosen, 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 loosen. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Get some more paper towels over here. Name of Jesus. 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 Amen. 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 Name of Jesus. Everybody. Amen. All spoken words against you, Terry. We break off. We draw off the sword out of your back. Swords come out of his back. Come out of his back. Every sword come out of his back. Right now in Jesus' name. And all those hurts, and all the anger, frustration, come out, frustration, all anger and frustration, come out of it, that's it, come out of there, name of Jesus, attaboy, that's it, name of Jesus, that's it, That's it. Name of Jesus. All of it. All of it. All that pent-up anger and frustration. Come out there. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Lucy. 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 Jesus' name. Amen. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Amen. I ask the Lord to fill you up, Terry. Ask him to come in and fill you up. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Same thing. Okay. Father, we just pray for it. Huh? Swords in your back. Pull them swords out of her back here, George. Name of you and Chris. Name of Jesus. Father God, we break off those swords. We pull them out in the name of Jesus. We yank them out right now, Father God. All the attacks behind her back, Father, all the hurts. Lord Jesus, all the betrayal, betrayals, knives of betrayal. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. You loose her now in Jesus' name. All those wounds and hurts, come out of her right now in Jesus' name. By the blood in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, heal her heart, heal her mind. Heal her emotions, Father. Heal her right now, Father God, in those areas that she's emptying out, Father. Amen. All those hurts, Father God. We ask it in Jesus' name. All the tongues of the wicked, Father. The tongues, Father God. We release and forgive those that hurt her, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Ask him to fill you up, hon. Praise God. Marlene, same thing. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we break off of Marlene every sword, every attack. Against her, Lord, not only her body, but against her mind. Lord, against her standing and going forth in the name of the Lord and doing the will of God. We break off all those solical socket witchcraft prayers that stood against her. Go loose! Loose, Marlene, right now in Jesus. Come out of there. Come off her back. Come out of her back. Come out of there. Come out of that back area. Come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out in front of me. Come off that back. Come out of there in Jesus' name. The blood be against you. The name of Jesus be against you. Loose her. Loose her. Loose her. Loose her. Name of Jesus. Come out of there. Come out. All that betrayal. All those hurts. Come out. All the betrayal. From even close ones that were around you. That you could talk to, you thought. And yet, they betrayed you. In Jesus' name. We forgive them, Lord. We release them, Father. No unforgiveness. No animosity against them, Father. In the name of Jesus. Come out of there. That's it. All of it. All of it. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. All of it. All of it. Jesus' name. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Go in Jesus' name. Lord, for David tonight. Touch David tonight. Touch David right now, Father. Touch David in Jesus' name, Father, for David. God, deliver David. Deliver him, Father God, tonight in the name of Jesus. Set him free, Lord. Set him free, Father God. Oh, we cut off every strong hole, every strong attack against Marlene, Lord, against David, Father. We break and bind the powers of darkness in Jesus' name. Deliver, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Come out of there, you witch spirit. Come out of there, witch spirit. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Come out. Come on out. Come out. Come out, you witch spirit. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out. All switches just down witchcraft. He break your thumb. Right, loose. That's right. Name of Jesus. Come out. Come on. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. All those hurts. That's right. We break them. We break them right now in Jesus' name. Name of Jesus. Put the blood against you. We put the blood against you. Put the blood against you in Jesus' name. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus. Come out there. Come out there. Come out there in Jesus' name. Loose. Hold your peace. Come out of it in Jesus' name. Hold your peace. Come out of it. Come on, Jezebel. Move on. Come out of it. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of it. Come out of it. Jesus' name. Name of Jesus. Come out of the stomach. Come out of the stomach and chest. Come out. Come out of it. Come out of it. We bind you. Hold your peace. Come out of her. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. Come out. That's all of it. That's right. Come out of it. That's right. Come out. Come out. Come out there. Come out there.
Come on out.
Come out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.